shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we say, holy, holy, holy. Lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Amen. Pour out your power and love as we say, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You love Him? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. To see Him is to look into His Word and to see who He is. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, where we've been reading John 3, and then we will go to Acts 1, and it will be Acts 1 and then over into Acts 2. Yeah. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock, so just come and have you just what we call common questions and answers. In other words, nothing set, just whatever comes up, the questions and answers, and that we have, and, you know, that way we have a good time in the Lord. Remember Wade and June driving back this afternoon after he gets through with the services there, and just remember, pray one for another that the Lord would bless. Amen. John 3, Acts 1, and then Acts 2. Okay. Heavenly Father, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our all in all, and Jesus is your name. Thank you for the day and the hour that we have. Thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for you. And I just ask you to help us this afternoon, because we approach a part that has been well misunderstood by a lot of people and taught in many different ways. But yet we want to try to bring it to where that we can believe that you are the one that is speaking it unto us, and that you're giving it unto us by revelation. We love you, and we thank you, and just close our mouth to the things that would not be needful, that we could speak what you would give us, and that your love may be made manifest in our hearts. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all things. Bless the little bride around the world as we all endeavor for one thing, and that's to come to a place to where we can walk off of this earth and be with you. Have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. Verse 10 says, thou art a teacher. And Brother Brown said, the original said, art the teacher. All right, so then coming down, thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these. He's referring to Jesus as being the teacher, and Jesus refers to him as being the teacher. Let me get it right now, we won't misunderstand. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now let's go to Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power, the Lord Jesus speaking, see, to the disciples. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay. Then Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to, you know, just kind of preach across for a little bit, and then we'll back up and go through the things that, you know, we need to, and this can be counted in as one of those things of the doctrines that I said I would get to eventually and preach on some of the doctrines of the people of the message, that, and the reason I don't believe them and what I believe the truth is, you know, and this can be counted in with that too, because if you go out among the denominations and everything and you ask them what is the new birth, and one's going to tell you this and one's going to tell you that, and you know, different things, and you'd be shouting, speaking in tongues, feelings is involved, believing, just accepting, and all kind of things that they'd be saying. A lot. Then you come among the believers of what you call the believers of the message, and you'd find that some of them are saying that, well, Brother Branham changed here and he changed there, and it's, you know, pretty well among us, just like it is anywhere else. And but I want to just talk to us and just ask us, what is the new birth? Now, to follow that, as I was saying this morning in the message, if you approach something, this a blunt statement like a lot of people try to, and you know, you say, well, what is the new birth? Well, you can give a quote that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can give a quote that it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got quotes that we'll get to in a few minutes. You'll see that Brother Branham calls believing the new birth. Then he will talk about the being baptized into the body as the new birth. And he'll talk about just that baptism of the Holy Ghost as being in the body. As we're talking about new birth now. All right. And then, if we have time, we'll conclude by bringing it to what I believe is what he was really bringing it all to, is that the headstone uniting with the body will be the new birth, which will end up, ever how you want to say it, by the change of this body, and we'll step into eternity, body, spirit, and soul, and then you can say you got the new birth. All right. So then it's a vast thing to be covered, and it would take, and it took the prophet 40 years. So if we go that long this afternoon, you know, we'll try not to. But I want to make sure that we get it right. Then if you want to have questions and answers on it, I'm always pleased to have questions and answers. Now, if you misunderstand something I say, the only thing I would ask you to do, I would ask you to do one thing. It may solve a lot of problems. If you have something that you misunderstand, write it down. Jot it down while I'm speaking. You know, did you mean this? Did you mean that? What? Write it down, you know. All right, but then I'd ask you to do one thing that might save some problems and time, is to go back and listen to the tape. You know, and you know, kind of mark, if you want to, the time, and say, well, it's got to be in the first half of the, you know, it's got to be in the first hour. You know, might save you a lot of trouble trying to find it on the tape. But go to the tape and listen to it to see, because in that way, and I probably will too myself, because I know I can make human errors in speech, and being a human being, I'm sorry, but I will do that as a human being, and it doesn't bother me for somebody to say, you said so-and-so, all right? As long as I said it. It doesn't bother me. I can go back and correct it. I can say, well, that's exactly what I meant, you know, or I can say, now, you heard me say this. This is what I meant. Kind of be like Brother Branham said about that fellow, you know, said, don't take what I say. Said, take what I meant, you know. So that way, let the Holy Spirit be in you to help and to do and to give an understanding, because it is a vast territory, And I told you this morning, one key to it is that, Brother Branham, the ages as they came down. And that was so marvelous to me when I seen it when he started preaching, you know, when I first started reading of the message, and how that he would talk about Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecostal baptism. And he'd say, well, now here come the Presbyterian restoring some of the predestination. Here would come the Baptists with the immersing down into water, you know, the baptizo, and doing those things. And, you know, that was to me was an amazing thing to think about how God could keep this thing so straight. And then a prophet would come. Because, see, we never had anybody back there to be able to help us. You know, I mean, we were Baptists, and they just said, all you got to do to believe. And I asked them, I said, well, how come it says believeth? It doesn't say just believe. It says believeth. You know, and I wanted to know. And, you know, and then as I always try to say, that I didn't just accept the fact that I was born again by just something that happened, something that took place. I've told you about seeing God in a form in a church at about 11 years old. I never took that as my new birth. I come to a place one day, if you'd have asked me, after I joined the church there in the Baptist form, I would have said that was my new birth, that I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when I came into the message and seeing how the prophet was expressing things, even in seemingly contradictory, I said seemingly now, contradictory statements, I was still happy to see the things that he was saying. And then I realized that I was not born again. And then it was 2 years before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, and all of that. But, you know, after I come into the message. But that was an amazing thing to look back and see. Justification. See, there your church went down. It come on the day of Pentecost, come over through the dark ages, went down into the ground. It came back out in the two little shoots of Luther with the just shall live by faith. And then Wesley come along preaching sanctification. All right. And then the Pentecostals with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that those people down through there, I'm not like some that say that people have said, you know, that Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost didn't have nothing. Now, I don't agree with that. I believe it was the new birth in the days of Luther. And there is a direct quote I'll be glad to find for you. I was looking at it this morning. That Brother Branham that said called the new birth of sanctification. All right? But you see, you've got to remember that they can only be responsible for what they heard. You're coming out of the dark ages of the thing that where it had been beat down, or whatever you want to use the word for, eaten down until basically all they had was, and I was reading a little bit about the Bible the other day, and basically all they had was just certain scriptures that they were allowed to read, you know, through the Catholicism age. And, you know, they didn't have a Bible. They would even burn them and try to destroy them. And their point was that we don't want the Bible to be put into the hands of illiterate people. Now, I'm quoting them, you know, and saying that because you would have the illiterate trying to understand God. And said it can't be understood by the illiterate folks, you know. But see, I differ on that. Amen. And all, but, you know, but in seeing that, their thoughts maybe was good to protect or do, but yet it kept the Bible from being in people's hands. But that didn't stop God. He went on with the Wycliffe's and the different ones that brought the different forms of the Bible and brought them into Germany and brought all kind of doings and coming down through there and keeping it till even the Catholic Church, bringing your different things that they kept. The Catholics, Latin Vulgate. And see, even God made the Catholic Church preserve the Bible. You know, he made them even preserve it correctly, even though they wouldn't let their people have it. He made them preserve it to where later that it could be brought out, you know, and put into what we call the Bible of today, you know, to understand. So it's wonderful to look back there. So then I believe, now I'm telling you what I believe up front, and then we'll get on to the message. I believe that the Lutherans that really received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, don't need that string, that they, when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as their Savior, that was the new birth. The just shall live by faith. See? And that brought a new birth. All right? So then you go on to the other different people coming up and God adding to the church. Now, not what some man come up with the ideas, but Wesley coming along with sanctification. That would be the new birth. The Baptist people coming along with John Smith and them with the doctrine of baptism and, you know, baptizo, bringing, putting you down into water and the different things being restored. And each age coming down even to your pilgrim holiness and things like that. Those were a move of God in the time. Then you come into the Pentecostals. And then you come on into the hour that we're living. And see, I believe that the people there that were really born, they were people that are really born again in each one of those ages. Because if they wasn't born again, how are they going to get born again? All right? But yet, it's not. It was required only of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. As now, understand what I'm saying. What was the Catholic Church doing when Luther said the just shall live by faith? They were teaching believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, right? I mean, they were teaching believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they had the Marys and all the other involved. But they were still teaching believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. All right? Well, see, then when Luther came out with it, it just struck him the just shall live by faith because they had salvation based upon purely works and doings and things like that. And even that's why Brother Branham will not throw off on the Catholics like everybody thinks he does. But he said the original church was Catholic. You ever heard him say that? The original church was Catholic because Catholic means universal. That's all it means. It means universal. All right. And he said they were the original, and they were, he said. All right. But everything cabbage down brought it down to a basis that, you know, you can go through the I will restore, etc. The cankerworm, palmerworm, locust, caterpillar. But just getting down to the doings, Brother Branham would not go back and cover a lot, then he would just cover justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost under the Pentecostals. All right. Now, not that each one wasn't getting the birth, but the Lutherans didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost like they got it on the day of Pentecost of the works. And you know what I'm talking about? Three stages. They got the new birth by believing. All right, Wesley and them got second work, but that was still not like the book of Acts in the basis that it was still the new birth, but not the basis of the second work, you know, second stage. And then when you come into Azusa Street, then your original Pentecostal people required you to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be called a new birth. You just didn't walk in on the original right ones now. Pure ones, true ones. Are you following me? So if you miss me somewhere and you come back, listen to that. I said right ones, pure ones, true ones. I didn't say everybody. Because everybody that spoke in tongues, Brother Brown said, didn't have it. So if they didn't have it, they didn't teach it right. All right? But see, the true were teaching as much as they could. And even Azusa Street was Trinitarians. 1906 Azusa Street was Trinitarians. It was like about 1912, somewhere in there, 14, before that you come along with the oneness doctrine being taught. But that still didn't mean that God couldn't give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because He did. But see, then that way, Brother Branham would say, he said, I met people that received the Holy Ghost, might say 50 years or something before him. He said exactly like the day of Pentecost. Well, then the preachers in this message go haywire trying to figure that one out. Well, they say, well, ours, oh, look at them people. Look what, they didn't have nothing. We look at it. And he says they had the Holy Ghost. Well, then I remember I took that topic and broke it down to where on the day of Pentecost there was two things took place. One was the upper room experience of 120 that had been tutored for 3.5 years. They had went through, as we talked about this morning, justification, sanctification. All right. They had the gifts working. They had the dead, they saw it raised. They had all of the gifts. He gave them power to do all of these things. All right. And that was only under sanctification. All right. Now, so then when the Holy Ghost did come, it quickened 120 and put them, and I'll point to the pyramid for others. At the pyramid we look at, you know, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. Here's where you see Holy Spirit. The 120 received the Holy Spirit right there because he'd been tutored 3.5 years. They went outside, preached a sermon, you know. 3,000 got saved. They didn't have enough word to be up here. They come into the body of Christ. I meant faith. But that was the new birth. So when Brother Brown said he met people with a new birth, just like the day of Pentecost, he's exactly right. When you receive the new birth, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, you get it exactly like the 3,000 got it. You don't get it like the apostles got it. You got to grow in grace and knowledge and coming up to that point. All right. Now, in looking at it that way, we can see that the things Brother Branham said are not contradictory. They need to be placed in order. All right? In placing it in order, we come to a better understanding of what he's saying. Okay? Now, so we see the ages ties together with the new birth. The seals tie together because we ended up with the quote about the seals opening and the claim being placed upon us. So they would be that. And he said there's a mysterious part in the seal book of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this day to be understood because of the opening of the seals. All right. So that would mean down through there, even though Paul and them had a great understanding about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, great understanding about the Godhead, but still there would be things in the end time that would be revealed through or by way of the prophet to bring us the message. All right. Now, that would work out then to tie together everything Brother Branham says, everything the Bible would say about it, and placing it in order, that if we get it laid in order, it'll make a beautiful picture. Amen. But if we fail to, then we will miss it. All right. So now, here's what I want you to believe. I mean, want you to listen to me, not believe it. You pray for God to reveal it to you. I just preach. All right. I believe you can call the new birth believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what Luther did. You can call the new birth sanctification. Because that's what Wesley did. You can call then the new birth as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that's what Azusa Street did. All right? And you can place it then in order, and it'll come out to make a beautiful picture to see the plan of salvation for world, for man, for the ages, for time, and everything fits into a beautiful category. All right. Now, so when I go through, I'll try to stop and express this is what I'm saying. This is what Brother Branham is saying. This is what I'm saying. This is what he's saying. So, you know, because I want you to understand. And at least you'll have the information. I am one that will give you information. I look at some quotes sometimes, and I do decide not to bring them because maybe it would be confusing to the younger ones, but I'll be glad to put them in anytime you want one put in. To, you know, something you say, well, Brother Ryan said so-and-so. Well, bring it to me. I'll be glad to place it within and do it. All right. But now, see, then I said, I believe the new birth. And Brother Branham preached the message, you must be born again. All right. And on that message, I think it's 59, he said, I can conclusively prove something of those words, a little paraphrasing, that you're born again and then baptized into the body. We'll read in a minute where the prophet will say that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the new birth. The new birth is when you believe. And then he'll explain who he's talking about. You'll say, well, and that's, I hold this point because it is true. Brother Branham is preaching the new birth, and then he's preaching adoption to go in with that, to bring you into those forms. But he'll tell you, there's one in here I know or two, where he says that the people received the new birth, they were there under Apollos before Paul came to them and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So then you'll see what he's doing. And then he can say that when you believe, you receive eternal life. And he'll say the baptism of the Holy Ghost only positions you in the body of Christ for the gifts, for the power. Now these are the things that will be read through here. See, then it must come together to bring a correct understanding. All right. And doing that, let's take one scripture. Brother's going to put it up, so I won't have to put up 1 Peter. Very familiar scripture with us. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now, being born again is a word using being means a process of going on. Something is transpiring. You are being born again. All right. Now, we'll read in a little while where Brother Ryan says, your new birth starts when you believe. Okay. He said, but Brother Dale, I've always thought it was the baptism. See, now there's your Pentecostal thought filtering through your mind. And the people of this message still have that because some of them believe that Brother Brown was wrong, and later he said it's just the baptism. Well, 64, Christ's future home, he said he taught three processes or phases, stages, all the way through his life. Right. And if you'll notice the interlacing that I chose, the word that I'll use, one of 54, 61, 59, backwards and forward. And then you'd have to look at it and say, but yeah, but now wait a minute, Brother Dale. What we want is what's after the seals. Yeah. Well, then you're rejecting the message. And how could it be that Brother Branham could preach anything if he didn't have a foundation? And if his foundation was not correct, then how could God come and bring the seals to him? Okay. And when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preach what Paul preached. And the people hollered, amen. All right. So then it's not to just say, well, you're just confusing me. No, no. I ain't going to confuse nobody today. I'm going to try to straighten out confusion. All right? Because we're born that way. Right. And our mind runs on the wrong channel. All right. So we need to get it right. All right. So being born again, meaning something starts, it keeps on going, it gets greater and greater, until it is finally consummated, finished, whatever the word, in what God intended for it to do. And I said, I believe that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into the body, then this body can be changed, and we can go meet the Lord, and we say we got the new birth. All right, 'cause we're being born again. How? I like the scripture. It didn't say being born again just because of an act taking place. How are you being born again? By the Word of God. Not by the corruptible seed of man. Not by doctrines or ideas. And as I was saying a while ago, then, when you receive the new birth, everybody since the day of Pentecost, except 120, receives the new birth right here at faith. And then you're being born again, adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother kind, and come out to the headstone. All right. Now, so let's start with the, it's getting to the point now. And we done lost 30 minutes, but that's all right. Now, I believe in this day. Everybody with me? This day. I've explained Luther, I've explained Wesley. In this day, believing is not the new birth in the day that we're living. All right? Sanctification is not the new birth in the day we're living. The baptism. Now listen. Now you're going to jump with me, so hold on to the point. The baptism is not the new birth in this day. Now listen, the new birth today that will go all the way and through and finish with the change, the new birth is justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you follow me? When we get down in a minute, Brother Brown say, they say the baptism is the new birth. He said they're wrong. See, in this day, it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot be born again today without going through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? I make it blunt where everybody will understand me. And that's what I believe. All right? And then doing that then, that you can be justified without receiving the Holy Ghost. You can be sanctified without receiving it. But you can't be baptized into the body without being justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost in this day. Since Azusa Street started with the three that came back, that's what it's required. Brother Brown said the last three ages completed the birth. We'll give that in a minute, I think it's in my notes. So now let's just read some things. Now we're not talking about, let me say this. I am not talking about anointed ones. Forget it, okay? And see, your mind will run anointed ones. Where the prophet would say, the anointed ones can have the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost on their spirit and still be lost. Right? Read or listen to anointed ones the end time. All right? But you can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul and ever be lost. Because there's no way of it, because it would place it. So you're going to have to listen real careful. As I said then, when you misunderstand me, or anybody on tape, anywhere listening, when you hear this, you go back and you listen to what I said. And you might find out it answers your question before you Call me, but don't worry about it. Call me from anywhere in the world, except please make up. I get them 3 o'clock in the morning from Zimbabwe or something like that. I mean, they just don't calculate. They just dial it up, you know. And then I can't understand them. We've got a phone that we run it up, that I get onto it, you know, where I can at least hear their words. But I'll tell them, say, please, slow down. I'm having trouble understanding you. Well, then they'll say, okay, brother, you know, I'm not throwing off on them now. I'm just telling like it is. All right. So if you call me, I used to have a brother, used to call me at 12:01. He's here in the United States. You know why? Because on that day, the rate changed at 12. I was working at General Motors, getting up at 4 o'clock. You know, all right. I finally told my brother, I'll pay the phone call. Call me and reverse the charges. Just call me before 10. You know? But, you know, just get that going to shake you off where you won't be so tight about what I've preached up so far. But now you can be justified and sanctified without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now watch Brother Branham. I think it's in here for now. He said you can't have baptism of the Holy Ghost without having the Father and the Son. You can't have it. You can't divide it up, see? Because if you divided it up, see, you're going to get your 3 gods in there and you're going to mess up things. If you say you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and that baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, or if you call it the Father, or you call it the Spirit of Christ, whatever you're saying, there's just one God.
Right?
So you can't have the Father without having the Son. All right? Are you with me? You can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having the Father. So you see, it's going to take a vast amount of time to tie together the loose ends to where it'll all come together. And you'll see when Brother Branham was saying what he was saying, he was right. At least I hope so. All right. So we're not talking about anointed ones to end time. Forget it. That's twice stating it. You come up with something, you know, well, why, Brother Dale, you don't understand how to baptize. I'm not talking about anointed ones. I'm talking about genuine, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, the children of God. Okay? I'm not talking about anointed ones. All right. So now we want to look at some quotes and look at some things and see if we can piece together. Then you'll see why I like to take a subject and then I wait. I've been studying this subject for 40 something years, knowing the thing seemingly contrary one to the other. I've preached on it before, and I do believe that Brother Branham was trying to preach adoption in his early ministry, but also know by his quotes that he was not just preaching adoption. He was preaching the truth for the age and time or whatever it was. All right. How can you cover the new birth and leave out Luther and Wesley? You can't do it. Luther taught justification as believing on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that was his new birth. All right. Truly, surely we know that he probably taught and made books and wrote essays or whatever you call them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And he claimed the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. But God was going to start a work or to bring forth his word. So Luther was reading there in the scripture about the just shall live by faith. And it clicked. And that was the new birth of that age. Now, others that were believing Catholicism from there on now. Now, you know there's overlaps, so don't misunderstand me. Some never heard about it. To give you an illustration, somebody asked Brother Branham to go talk to their father and to see where he was in the Lord. He goes in, lies and talks with him, doesn't say a thing, comes back out, and this story was told, and said, your father's all right, he's under another age. If you're not responsible, God doesn't hold you responsible until truth has been presented. Now those that back off somewhere never heard of Martin Luther and all the things, they may have been okay and God would wink at their ignorance. But those who heard Martin Luther teach the just shall live by faith, it was required that they receive that he was teaching to be in that body of Christ for that day. So is it with Wesley? So is it coming down to all ages? See, each believer had to accept the message that was presented to them. That's why you'll hear Brother Branham say that the people want to stay in the denominations and claim the new birth or message of the age. It's a good one, isn't it? You mean you could do that? Yes. Doesn't mean you got to go to the Baptist to stay in the age. It don't mean you got to go to the Pentecost to stay in the age. It means you got that mindset. You got that understanding. You got that thought. And see, you can be claim you're in the message. Claim to be in the message and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. That's why that's not the evidence. The evidence is whether or not the Spirit of God in you will agree with the Word. If it's not in there, it won't agree. Simple language, but that's what your prophet said. All right. See, the true Pentecostals. Now notice I'll use the word true, thing like that, so that you won't be dealing with this everybody in their fanaticism. The true Pentecostals taught then the baptism of the Holy Ghost after you are justified and sanctified, or they taught three stages of grace. Now many of them did not get the new birth of their ages. So let's pull up this and give a couple of quotes to start on the point. Number one, brother. Look what Brother Branham said. We found out, this is from the message then Jesus came and called. We found out many of them said they believed and didn't have it. In the days of John Wesley, if they got the second blessing, they called it sanctification. Entire sanctification, that's really a weirdo. When you go to entire sanctification, you really are going beyond John Wesley. He never taught entire sanctification. They did after him. They got happy and they shouted. Everybody shouted, had it. But they found out they didn't have it. A lot of them shouted and didn't have it. The days of Pentecost, they said, now the restoration of the gifts has come. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. He that speaks in tongues has got it. We found out that many spoke in tongues and didn't have it. You know that Brother Branham talks about the Azusa Street Pentecost. And he said the same Holy Ghost that justified the Luther, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostals, what, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord? So he ties it all together. All right. Just give you another one to where we'll have it. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1964, 304. Lutheran said, when you believe, that's all you have to do. You're justified by faith. Believe. Many said they believed and didn't have it. We know that. Along came Wesley with what called the second work of grace, sanctification. All shouts and are sanctified and got it. Many shouted and didn't have it. Long come to Pentecost and said, all that speaks in tongues, speaks with tongues, has got it. Many spoke with tongues and didn't have it. Listen, he even comes along, gets past that. He comes in. He said, along comes a Christian Science and said, it's love, the fruit of the Spirit. Many of them shows fruits of the Spirit and don't have it. So it's not just because what you say with your mouth, it's what you possess. You can say, I'm a Christian. You know, I've been justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, here's my point. You ask them and say, well, what happened to you? Well, what do you mean, what happened to me? Well, what happened when you got justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I just went to the altar and I prayed through and got the Holy Ghost. Come up speaking in tongues. Now I believe the message. The prophet said, many of them said they got it and didn't get it. That don't mean everybody. Because there was genuine bride down through every age. Right? They really had the real goods and stood on the word. All right? What is required for the age? Brother Branham, as I went through, explained what was required for each age. All right, but then what is required for this age? To say that we're truly born again is we've got to come to the three stages: justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead with number three, brother. All right, preaching from a hidden life in Christ. And that's the same thing it takes to make up the new birth: water, blood, and spirit. Justification by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansing up, the sanctification through the blood, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit to put you in the holiest of holies. And he said, to put you in the Holy of Holies. Remember, you had an outer court in the Old Testament. You had an inner court. And then you had a Holy of Holies. Right? A Gentile could come into the outer court, but he could not step into the inner court, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. All right. So now he's tying it all, getting it all. It's all tied together. To put you in the holiest of holies. Now that constitutes then the man who is separated from God and hid away in Christ. Now that don't mean, you know what he's saying. He ain't saying separated from God. The man who is separated and then he's in Christ. I say this with reverence to many of us playing in the courts yet. See, we don't take our lives over. We don't take our lives over with Christ to be hid away. The fruits of the Spirit proves it. See, you see that we might think that we are, but until your life measures up with that, that's what proves it. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them, not by their denominations, but by their fruits you shall know them." There's one that we could probably cover a long doctrine on. People say now it's not the fruit of the Spirit. Kind old priest can have that. That didn't do away with the fruits of the Spirit. Right? Did it do away with the fruits of the Spirit because a kind old priest can have it? I taught that fruit, you know, the fruits of the Spirit was love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, that a true Christian had them. All right. Watch. Now watch this point. Look at number four now. Preaching on the countdown, 1962. So if a man sets on the thought of just justification is all you have to have, he's wrong. Wrong. He's got to be wrong. And it's the church who believes, like many of the Pentecostals, that the Holy Ghost is it. That's all, just repent and get the Holy Ghost. That's still wrong. Because you've got to get sanctified in there to cleanse it before the Holy Ghost comes in. If you don't, you leave out the blood, see. And the new birth. As people talk, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the new birth. Now, that's wrong. You're reading it now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the new birth. Uh-huh. People say, I believe everything Brother Brown says. Yeah, I believe what's been revealed to me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the new birth. The new birth is when you're born again. But the Holy Ghost is when power comes into that birth for service. That's exact. See, the Holy Ghost is baptized into the Holy Ghost. Now remember, that's 1962. Right. Now remember, and I'll repeat this a lot, in the future home in 64, he said, I taught three stages of grace from the beginning. Never changed. Looks like he's changing here, doesn't it? Especially when he says, people say that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a new birth. He said, well, I'm confused. Well, your prophet said it. So are you going to say he is confused? That leaves it into our laps the wrong way, doesn't it? Because we don't like that kind of language. All right. So now listen to what we're going to. Go to the next one, number 5. Now this is the countdown preached in 19 and... Excuse me, that other one was a countdown, but that was paragraph 37. This is 38, 39. The new birth. You have the new birth by being, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? By having faith and accepting Him as your Savior, that's birth. See, because you pass from death unto life. If you want to back that up, take John, St. John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. He's got life because he believes. And that same group that had to go to Pentecost to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now he's talking about the disciples, right? He's talking about the disciples having eternal life by their new birth. And Jesus Christ ain't died yet. Okay? So where are we at now? Holy Ghost is power for service. So when you talk about you got to be born again and applying that to the Holy Ghost, many of the Methodists and so forth are wrong there. It cannot. It just won't cope through the scripture here. You get the thing sideways. It's got to take it the way the scripture's got it placed out here. And the Holy Spirit is, he shall receive the new birth after this. What? No. Because that's not what the scripture said. Scripture says you shall receive power. Acts 1 and 8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, see. And they had already believed to eternal life. Now talking about the disciples and so forth. But they had to have the Holy Ghost for power. He shall be witnesses unto me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Because the Holy Ghost is a witness of the resurrection, showing that you have become an adult in Christ. Now, let's see if we really believe. Did they have eternal life in their soul? If so, Jesus didn't have to die. I said, well, you're correcting Brother Branham. No, I'm correcting you. Is that blunt enough? I'm not correcting Brother Branham. Got enough sense to know better than that. I know he knows what he's talking about. But you see, they were believing unto eternal life. But as I said this morning, there were a lot of people that believed Jesus. But where were they when the day of Pentecost came? Even seen of 500 brethren after the resurrection. Where was the 380? That's why Brother Branham will make the statement, you are saved according to your confession. You say you're a Christian, you're a Christian. You say you're not a Christian, you're not a Christian. Now let's see if you can swallow it. Are you going to say that Judas was not a believer? are you going to say that Judas wasn't sanctified in St. John 17? Let you think. What are you going to say? Well, you just got me confused. I don't know what to say. Good, you're in good place. If you really don't know what to say. But if you get running your blabbering mouth, you'll figure out something. So Judas was believing unto eternal life. You can call it born again. You can call it new birth. But where he was at, there was no way to receive eternal life in his soul. So he died and went to hell. Why? Because he turned down and proved that his justification and sanctification was not genuine. Now come on. You will amen where Brother Branham will say, people will say, well, you know, this, that, or that, but say, but what about Judas? He had part of the ministry. The Bible says he did. So now Brother Branham is having to be speaking of a believing unto eternal life. As I said, if you're justified and you die in that place, the prophet said, sure, you're going to heaven. Made a lot of difference in going to heaven. There's at least two ways to get there. Both of them through the blood of Jesus Christ, but one of them can be a foolish virgin to be given eternal life later. The other one has eternal life here. A lot of difference. All right? So then, the new birth is believing. The disciples were believers. You can cover them as the new birth. When the scripture said that the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not been glorified. So it was a potential. Right? It was not a reality. If it was a reality, Jesus Christ died in vain because all he had to do was turn around and give. Come on. He had done give them the power. Right? The disciples had the power to cast out devils, heal the sick, and all the things before they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He took the power away from them and told them to go to Jerusalem and abide and don't try to preach no more because you don't have the inside teacher, so you can get confused. And that's what the people in this message has done. I'm going to say it. You can believe what you want to. They don't wait for the teacher to be able to put the word together. Come on, it's true. They run off. Well, I just got this quote, and I got that quote. How many quotes you want? Well, if I've got one, it tears it down. What are you doing? Then put it all together, and let's see. You say, but I thought the new birth, Brother Dale, for this age was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's true. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because what chopped off your past sins was the Holy Spirit. What sanctified you was the Holy Spirit. What is the birth is the Holy Spirit. All right? See, but the new birth for Luther's age was to just believe and accept that Jesus paid the price. So the new birth for the disciples that we just read about was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the new birth wasn't completed in Luther's age. So you can call it a potential. You can call it partial realization. Brother Brandon will use those words. But you see, in this age, we got to come to the ending of all things. But in this age, it requires that we must accept the truth. The truth of what? Now, listen. The truth. The truth. The truth of what Luther taught. Of the just shall live by faith. We've got to accept that. Now, what all he taught, Trinitarianism, and all, I didn't say that. We must accept what Wesley taught. Knowing that in Wesley's day, if you looked at the quotes that were up there, the basics under Luther's message was sanctification by the chemistry of the blood. And it's basically what he taught. Get your song books and look at all the songs that was written in Wesley's age. I know it was the blood. Come on. Because Wesley thought that sanctification being the second stage was the chemistry of the blood. Come on, go to the token message and listen to Brother Branham explain it. There's four of them. You'll hear him explain it good. Wesley thought it was the blood. He said, and we know now it's the life that was in the blood that makes it different. See, so today we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, as Luther taught it, of the just shall live by faith. And then we believe of the sanctification of Wesley, that the blood does have a part to do in it because the life was in the blood. And then Brother Branham will say, you are not saved by the blood. What's the rest of the quote? You are kept saved by the blood. He said, you're saved by grace through faith. You're kept saved by the blood. Right? Come on. This is what your prophet says. So the blood is a bumper over us to keep us saved. Right? Come on. See, today when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that starts the new birth. But it's not completed until we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul. Now remember how I've taught it before in the past two messages? Justification doesn't do anything about the soul. Chops off the sin of the soul. We covered it this morning that sanctification starts dealing with the soul of the unclean spirit being driven out. Not just out of your body and spirit, but being driven out of your soul. To make way for the baptism. All right. Now let's read a few that sound astounding. Go ahead, brother. Number 6. Paragraph 363 to 365. Question and answers on Hebrews part 2, 57, 1002. We're trying to make it just briefly, plain as I know how to make it. Now, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you then have the new birth. When you believe on the Lord, you receive a new thought, a new life. But it isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? You got the new birth when you believe. You've got eternal life. It's a gift of God that's given to you through sovereign grace by accepting the gift that God is giving to you. See, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, or as the scripture said, has everlasting life. That's the new birth. You're converted. It means you've turned around. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you into the body of Christ, subject to the gifts for service. It doesn't make you any more of a Christian. Now, are you reading what he's saying? It just puts you into the body of gifts, see? Now, by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, we're all baptized into one body. Now, Paul says there are different gifts, and in this body it's 9 spiritual gifts, and this body you have to be baptized into the body to possess one of these gifts. They come with the body. So he says, What now? You're converted. You've accepted Jesus Christ. Now let's go on to the rest of that paragraph. See? But now, as far as having eternal life and being a Christian, you are a Christian the moment you believe. Bother him. Now that's not make-believe. I'm glad he put that in there because it would come up me saying it, right? That's not make-believe. That's truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior. You're born again right there and have eternal life. Listen, God comes into you. You didn't have any trouble saying it. Now watch, eternal life. Jesus said, he did hear my word and believeth on him that sent me at the eternal life, and shall not come into the judgment, but pass from death unto life. You're a new creature right then. Then Paul had met some of these people. Now listen. Up in Acts 19, they had them a preacher by up there, which was a converted lawyer by the name of Apollos. And Apollos was a mighty man in the Scriptures. And he was proving by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ and did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's not a quote off of there. That's mine. Apollos didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're talking about Apollos. Let's see. 365. All right. Pull up the next one, brother. Oh, that's 367. This is continuation reading and questions and answers. Okay. 1957. Now watch. Apollos, through the word, was proving by the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Get it? Apollos by the word was proving. And these were Christians. They were followers, disciples. If you remember something, Key going there, and Brother Dick and I used to talk about this. They were disciples until the day of Pentecost, then they were apostles. That's the difference, because one time they didn't have it, the other time it was possessed. And Apollos was proving by the word that Jesus was the Christ. And they had great joy to receive the word, yet knowing only the baptism of John. And Paul passed through the upper coast of Ephesus. He finds these disciples and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? See? Now when you believe, Jesus said, you have eternal life. That's the new birth. That's your conversion. Changing. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the power of God that you're baptized into and are subject to these nine spiritual gifts to work through you, such as preaching, evangelical, apostles, pastors, prophets, and all the gifts of the body come into this when you're baptized into this body. Now remember, Brother Run said the preacher don't have a right to preach unless he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't make you any more Christian. It just sets you positionally in a place to be a ministering spirit in the church of the living God. Now you get it. Going down to the next one. And they asked him a question. This is a continuation of reading, okay? At that time we see the new birth that this takes place. Is that when? Okay. Something wrong with the computer. The computer got computed. Okay, I can read it from up here till I get it back up. Where are we at? Okay. So I'll read it from here. He said, that's what they want to know. In other words, they said, at the time you receive the new birth, this takes place. Is that because the question was, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. That's correct. 1 Corinthians 12 would give the answer to that. All right. At that time, we receive the new birth. This takes place. Is that when? Now, that's what they want to know. Yes, by one spirit. No. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. See, that isn't when the new birth begins. I love that one. The new birth begins when you believe on the Lord Jesus. The new birth begins when you believe on the Lord Jesus. There's not one thing. Listen, what can you do besides believe? What more can you do? What can you do about it anymore? What can you do about it any more than just believe it? Tell me one thing you could do. There's not one thing you can do outside of believing. Now, if anything comes outside of your believing, it isn't an act of your own. It's an act of God. Okay. Then he finishes up down on the bottom. I guess we're on it because that's 373. Come on down, and it just says it at the bottom. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a different act from the new birth. One is a birth, one is a baptism. One brings you eternal life, the other one gives you power. Gives the power into eternal life. See, to operate now, you got it? Okay, all right. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Okay. They can pull these up if they want to. Start off the number 9, and then I'll just scan across it. Try to save a little bit of time. The Pentecostal message was the life's message with justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The life's three church ages forms a complete birth. He's talking about just like a woman. When they killed Jesus at the cross, the substance come from his body to make up the birth. They struck his side, blood and water came out. And what? Blood and water, two of them. And into thy hands I commend my spirit, 3. What came from his body was water, blood, spirit. Right? That's what it took to make it. Water, blood, and spirit. It was in his body that would constitute that. Next one, seed not air with a shuck, paragraph 48. There is also 3 in perfection of the steps of grace to the church, justification, sanctification, and baptism with the Holy Ghost. That consists of the new birth. Just like a natural birth is typed by it, which a woman giving birth to a child, first thing comes water, blood, life. Okay. Demonology, 53. Jumping from 65 backward to show he's teaching the same thing. 53, demonology, 11:12, E18. Or instance like this, when Jesus died at Calvary. Now, I mean, what elements come from his body? Water, blood, and spirit, is that right? Now, any minister, any believer knows that that's what constitutes the new birth. Is that right? That constitutes the new birth, St. John 7:5. There are 3 that bear record of water, blood, and spirit. And they pierced his side, water and blood came out. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Those elements went from his body, and it takes those same elements to bring you to his body. That constitutes the new birth. And he goes on to what constitutes the natural birth. Getting these out of the way where we can just say it. Look at the last one. Jehovah Jireh, 1961, 312. E58. Now, so is the church in Christ. God never said just go make any organization called a so-and-so or go educate them this. He took his own son, and from his heart, 3 elements come from his body. Excuse me, sisters. I want to make a point. In a natural birth, what is the first thing that happens in a normal birth? Water. Next, blood. What is next? Life. That's the same thing that constitutes the new birth. What was the thing come out of Jesus' side? Water, blood. And into thy hands I commend my spirit. St. John or 1 John 5:7. There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which was the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These 3 are 1. You can't have the Father without having a Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. These 3 are 1. All right. Get the quotes out of the way. We started up on one end of it, come all the way through it. Sound like odd quotes. Brother Run said, your new birth begins when you believe. All right. Justification is when you believe. Right. He says you have eternal life. Okay. Like the prophet says, you die right there. If Judas Iscariot had died the time that he believed the Lord Jesus, he would have been all right. but he lost it. The prophet of God says you can lose your salvation. But now show me where he ever said you can be truly born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and lose your salvation. I want to see that one. I hope this ain't been confusing. Maybe I can finish it in just a minute. That's why I said, people think Brother Branham said this and he said that, he said this. Now, it all fits together exactly if you put him in order. Even that the disciples had the new birth before Jesus Christ died. Even that Apollos, who had actually not even heard of the things to receive the Holy Ghost, those people received the new birth. To me, it's like Luther. He received the new birth by his believing. The difference was Luther was put in the body of Christ with eternal life in the soul. And you can say, well, you're different. Well, Brother Branham, go ahead, because you explain it. I'll turn it over to you. I'll lay these notes out in front of you and let you explain it. I believe that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God writes that down. As long as you keep on believing, everything's okay. It'll carry you through all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all the way up the pyramid today, and all the way into the headstone, which is love, and all the way to a change of a body, if you truly believe. But if you stop believing before you're sealed in, in this day, justification don't seal you in the body. Sanctification don't seal you in the body. You say, well, all it, Brother, I'm just saying that the Holy Ghost is for power. Yeah. Well, that's why the scripture said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Am I right? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples. Now listen. And then they receive power. Because that's what the scripture's saying. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After means a period of time there to be placed. Might not have been seconds, but it's still a period of time. They received power. They went out witnessing. We read they went out preaching. You see, the new birth today is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Neither the new birth today is not justification or sanctification. It is justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brings you to a new birth of this age. As I read to you, it completes the birth because those ages did. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kids, I want you to do that. Adults, I want you to do that. You that are concerned, that's what I want you to do. I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. Then start reading and studying. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then start believing. Start reading and studying. And let that word drive that unclean spirit out of you. And then the Holy Ghost can come in. But if you read the future home, you find Brother Branham said that even though you're sanctified, he said that baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the scripture calls it baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the actual scripture. And fire. That's not two things. Future home explains it. The fire comes before the Holy Ghost to burn out everything that's left. What's left? Me and you. We ain't dead at justification. We ain't dead at sanctification. Now, is that tying all the messages together from the previous series? You're only dead when you die and are burned out. To burn out everything of the world. You mean we'll never have no more problems? Nobody didn't say that. Brother Brown said, when you say that and believe it, he said, Satan don't point every gun he's got on you. So just expect him to do it. But you don't have to go help him buy the guns. You know what? But you understand what I'm saying? The new birth in Luther's age was justification. It only required the one stage. The new birth in Wesley's age was sanctification and justification that required two stages. Pentecostal Azusa Street came forth with the baptism. You see, people that are so blinded to say that Azusa Street was false. 464, the seal book. He said, no messenger to the age talking of Azusa Street. He said, because the Holy Ghost came himself in a prophet. That's not Brother Branham. Then at the end of the age, I'm quoting you, as all the others, the messengers will come. Brother Branham came at the end of the age. Not at the beginning of Azusa Street. He said, well, I just don't know where I'm at. You really have got me confused. Good, you'll go pray. What's the man talking about? I don't have no problem with you asking God, what am I talking about? But you say, well, Brother Dale, all it is just, you know, it's adoption. Well, that's all right. But remember, you can't adopt anything until it's a child first. You got to be born again. You got to be a child of God. You got to be in the body, not just believing unto. Then you can start your adoption. But the scripture's right and the prophet's right. And God is so honorable and sweet to do that for us, to put us to the place that he knew Luther wouldn't ever come on no further. He knew Wesley couldn't come any further. He knew Azusa Street couldn't come any further. He knew you and I couldn't come any further until he sent us a prophet. What a wonderful day that we have. That you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You believe unto eternal life. But when you receive that genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you now have eternal life. You're not believing unto. You have eternal life in the soul. What we need is eternal life in these bodies, right? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit to come in our day. Are the stages to be done? Read the future home. But just remember, the prophet said, I never changed. From a boy, he said, I taught three processes. Well, then when it sounds like he was teaching other processes, those processes must fit in too. What he was teaching on the future home. Believing unto salvation is wonderful. But you're not in the body of Christ until you receive that new birth of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That puts you in the body of Christ. Because that's the age that we're living. Because those disciples couldn't come into the body of Christ until Jesus Christ died, gave his life, and then when the life came back upon them, they were confessing him as their Savior. They were sanctified, right? And the prophet said they had eternal life. That's fine. But you better believe and listen to what I was saying, because you can take what you want to. But Judas Iscariot was walking right in that same place until he denied the Lord Jesus. And when he denied him, he went back the other way because the unclean spirit came back into Judas. Right? That was what caused him to deny. Read your Bible. It said he was in the upper room. Read the Bible. If you want to turn to it, read it. It said that the Spirit came in Judas. And he went out. The devil entered into him. There wasn't nothing wrong with Judas until he let the devil come back. Jesus had drove that devil out of him by the word. But he let it come back. When he did, he denied the Lord Jesus. Let's just don't get in that place to let that happen to you and I because of some thought or concept that we have. That we let that unclean spirit come back into us. And remember, the whole thing was it'll be religious. And we'll still think we're Christians and we'll still be doing things. And you can still be casting out devils and healing the sick. And already lost. Because when they come to him, they said, "What, we done these things?" He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Not that he didn't know them. He'd never had an experience of salvation in their soul. So they had to be out to win. What is the new birth, Brother Dale? Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when we do, somebody is going to complete all things and walk right into a change of the body and walk off this earth. Then the world can follow it. Do you realize that, you know, see, you get started and it's hard to quit. Come on, brother. You realize that we must go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost to be in the body. Then we must go through the stages of the seals and the opening of the word, the mysteries of justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost until these bodies are changed. And you know, when these bodies are changed, the world has got to follow us. It's got to go into eternal life. Why? Because we come out of it. So it's going to follow us. Listen to what I've said over and over. I know I leave loopholes and what hours to preach. 40-something years I've been preaching it. Of the new birth. I like what the prophet said. He said, that new birth begin when you believe. Just keep on believing. Brother Branham said, all Abraham could do was believe. He said, that's exactly right. We read one in there about it. Not about Abraham, but he said, that's exactly right. He said, all you can do is believe. But he said, what did God do for Abraham? See, God accepted Abraham. He'll accept you and I and give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then he can say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And it'll come out to the basis of what? Hear ye him. It'll be finished. What do we got, brother? Let's stand. Maybe we didn't make it much over.
94 and Red Bull. Yeah. Everybody knows this.
If we just got that far, Josh, there's no need to put no. Are we already on another tape? I say, okay, we're already on it. I'm sorry. And great. Anybody have a need? Start by believing. Start by accepting me as your Savior. Start by repenting of your sins. Start by straightening up, doing right, quitting things. And then God will accept you and give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Was grace that taught my heart to fear. Can you remember? You remember when you first became a Christian? You know, in some respects, you'd love to just stay there, wouldn't you? Just stay right there. Sitting over there in that rest area on I-20. And just sit there. About 10 million years. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Because there's more to the story. That just gets you to where you are, a child of God. That brings here what you're confessing is there. See, you're believing unto, and you never stop believing unto. 1969, the Lord gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm still believing unto. And I still pray. Every prayer I pray. Say, Lord, give us the word. No matter what you've got to do with this old man that I am, Lord. Put me to the place. And all I want is to see you make manifest to the people. All I want to see is God living in you. What a wonderful day. Be God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Anybody have a need? Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, thank you for our sister being concerned about these that needs a job and the things that they need. I pray that you would just touch and be with them. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This little one that he's concerned about. And Father, we just lay our hands are agreeing that whatever is needed is in you. So you go make it manifest, Father, in your love and your grace and your kindness unto us. We love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Anybody else, just come. Father, you heard about this one, Lord Jesus, and you know what it would take to bring this boy into the right place. We pray that the law would turn him loose, not have anything against him, and all would be well, Lord, because we believe you, Father. Our brother has a concern. You placed that concern there, so now work up on the other end, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' blessed name we ask you. Thank you. little sister's been having problems, got a temperature. Let's just believe it'll all go away, all right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we condemn this demon of fever that's bothering this little one. We lay our hands there believing it, Lord, that by your stripes the little one is healed. We love you and we thank you. So just let it all go away. Let everything be well because we believe you. We know that we don't have the power or whatever, but we have permission to use your name. And we just lay our hands there showing that we believe it. And we condemn that demon of fever in Jesus' name. Anybody else? The red like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all we want is for you to give our sister an understanding, an assurance. Lord, we love you and we thank you. So we know you'll take care of it. And it'll be like she was walking one day there in the kitchen, and all at once she just seen you, Lord, as one true and living God. And Lord, that just changes things. So do it again, Lord. Do it again. In Jesus' name. Amen. But now I was blind. See, what I'll probably do, next in, you know, doing this, to write this, and you just write it down, you know, about your experience or whatever you want, and I'll be glad to read it. But just try to tell you what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. You say, when I shouted, well, that's because you was taught in those things. You was around somebody else that done those things. What if you done that and didn't get it, the prophet said? spoke in tongues, he said, and didn't get it. What is the new birth? See, what is it? What about the man, as I was telling the sister, that picked up a card and read it? Where will you spend eternity? He went from there to all of the great evangelists, getting them to pray for him to receive the new birth. He come to the prophet looked at him and said, right there when you turned around. Now, he didn't say that right there, that he was just shattered with the Holy Ghost and been in a body and do all. He said, right there. He said, you mean I've had it all along? But see, we've been taught that you've got to have some form. Brother Brown said the mystery in the end time was to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. Now, he did not say without an experience. He said without a sensation. See, that's why everybody can be different part, but I believe the new birth in everybody is the same. I don't know what you've done. That's up to you. You may have shouted, cried, seen vision, you might have, but it's all one new birth. So it can't be all of these things that everybody's taught it. The reason I'm saying that, because Brother Tom that preached for us the other day, he may be preaching Wednesday, I'm not certain, because he's coming back through. So he may be, if not, then I'll take this up Wednesday and we'll do it. But, you know, he's coming back through from up north in Canada and coming back in Tuesday, I think. So, you know, we may be having that Wednesday. So let's be left up to whatever. Okay? All minds clear?
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I tell you, you know, a lot of people say, well, you're negative and whatever. Like, I had a brother tell me the other day how you knew you had the baptism of Holy Ghost. He said, you lay hands on the sick and they're healed, cast out demons. A scripture come to my mind. Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Right. We've done these mighty wonderful works in your name. See, and to me, when things like that happen, that's evidence that something's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have two things. You can have a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can have an anointing.
Yeah.
And you got to tell the difference.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think today, at Christendom, as far as I know, the majority is an anointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what it's been taught.
Right.
You've been taught you got to do this, got to do that. But why can't we just accept what God says?
Right.
All right. Anybody else before we go? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your love unto us. Thank you for your word, and I pray that what I've said has been worthy of being said. I tried the best I could do in the human realm, Lord, to speak about the things, because it's just telling about my own life and what I believe. And Lord, truly, we can believe on you before you come and accept us, because we have to do that. It's not a choice. We have to accept you first, and then you can accept us. We ask you to just help us. Give us understanding ears that we may hear. Give us the light of your love in our hearts. Go with us as we travel home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. And just let your light shine in each heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.